Thank you. the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man.
Great every night. I do appreciate all that wonderful hard work that has gone into that each night. And those hymns that we sang tonight were just marvelous, weren't they?
Amen.
Oh, they were rich. Well, it's the last night of our meetings, and I trust it has been helpful and profitable to you. I have only got one message, and I really do. Years ago, I came to the conclusion as a preacher I would have one message. Now, I might have 100 different ways of telling you the message, but there is only one message. There really is, even if you're a babe in Christ or mature in Christ, there's only one message. Because, well, what's the message? It's the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the doing of Christ, the dying of Christ, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, all to do with Christ. He is the center stage of the gospel. Now listen, you can preach many good things, and there's lots of things have to be taught, but if you don't soak the teaching in the gospel, you're not going to get anything taught. And you're not being New Testament. Everything, I could tell, boy, if we were doing a more detailed thing, had more time, I could show you about just about every ethical demand that the apostles make is based on the gospel. Husbands, love your wives. Now that's a great command. But you see, these are gospel men. They're not just commanders. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. You see, there's the gospel. And he gave himself. There's the gospel. So how do you get the energy, brothers, to love your wives? You get it out of the gospel. You get the inspiration for marriage out of the gospel. You see? And it on and on it goes. Okay. So many other illustrations we could give of that. But tonight I want to, strangely enough, preach you the gospel again. How odd. How strange. And tonight I want to give you three cheers from Jesus. Three cheers from Jesus, and no one should leave this service depressed tonight. And no one should leave this service gloomy or in despair tonight or anxious or full of worry. We're going to hear three cheers from Jesus. It's going to cure a lot of things. You know, normally we give three cheers for somebody, and I didn't say three cheers for Jesus, although he's worthy of three cheers and hip hip hoorays and whatever. He is wonderful. But I'm going to give you tonight, or the Bible is going to give you three cheers from the Lord Jesus. We're going to receive those, and if you will hear what Jesus is saying and receive it by faith, well, you're just learning to live in the gospel. And that's what we need to do, live in the gospel. Now then, I have one simple purpose tonight, and that is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, my purpose is to help you, but I've got a bigger purpose, and that is to glorify Him. Because if I'll glorify Him, you'll be helped. Amen? Now then, let's turn to cheer number one. Are you ready? Matthew 9. Verse 1. Matthew 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man, sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. There's cheer number one. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, that's a good cheer, isn't it? Oh, I'm cheerful already. I have just warmed up. Oh, that is good. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven you. This event takes place in a city called Capernaum. That was Christ's base of ministry. If you don't believe me, check it out in Matthew 4, verse 13. There were times he had nowhere to lay his head, but there were times he had a home base. Capernaum seems to have been it. And he's just gone back to Capernaum. And if you were to go back there in Matthew, you'd see he's just had an encounter with two demoniacs and he set them free. And he's gone back home. Perhaps he's gone back for a rest. Oh, you mean Jesus would take a rest when he got it? When he got it, sometimes he didn't get it. Sometimes he'd say to the disciples, to draw apart, come apart. And then the crowds would follow anyway, and he didn't get the rest. By the way, it's important to get a break. It's very important. I was thrilled to hear that your pastor is going to get a break next week. But I wasn't thrilled to hear that he hasn't had a break since for 4 years. Now, he's going to shoot me because he was not complaining. He just told me. Beloved, you make sure this man gets rest. Jesus took rest. There's an old preacher said this, we need to come apart before we come apart. Think about it. That was a quick one. But we do. We need to come apart and rest before we come apart. It's a great principle of rest. Make sure you take care of your pastor, okay? And I could say after that, thus saith the Lord, but I don't have to. All right? Now then, the crowd comes. Here he's just in off the mission field. The crowd comes. But can you blame them? It's inevitable. I mean, I would have been there, wouldn't you? Well, maybe I wouldn't. Unless he had touched me, I wouldn't have been. But the crowd comes. You know, it's inevitable. If Jesus is in the house, the people are going to come. It has to happen. You know, when people start asking questions, they're going to go to some place where there's answers. Now, the trouble is, we have a lot of answers, but very few people are asking questions. That's this day and age in which we live. I've often said, and maybe I've said it in these meetings, I can't find sinners anywhere. I can't. If I could find a sinner, I could help them get saved. I could give them the gospel. But nobody seems to be troubled anymore. Nobody thinks they're going to die. Nobody thinks they're going to go to hell if they haven't received Jesus as their righteousness. If they haven't trusted Him. They just say, oh, well, God's good. Oh, God's kind. If there's a God, I know He'll not send me to hell. You know that? Yeah, you know it. You know nothing. Did you hear me? Jesus taught on hell, warned about hell. And yet this day and age seems to be so flippant about the Word of God and hell, just make up the rules as we go along. But the crowd comes, and Jesus is confronted one more time, and He doesn't mind. He begins to preach and to teach, no doubt, and look what happens here. They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, this is really, really good. Okay, I want to draw to your attention now something that's just going to happen here in this passage. Okay, look at what's going to happen. And behold, verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. Wow. We just read about a little contrast here. The friends, they bring the man who's sick of the palsy, and Jesus in verse 2, look at that, sees their faith. How was that possible? Well, Jesus sees their faith. And then look at this. Jesus looks at the scribes and Pharisees and knows their thoughts. Verse 4, he knows their thoughts and he sees their unbelief. He sees faith. He sees unbelief. He says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why were they thinking evil? Because look then, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. They didn't say this, but Jesus sees this. Jesus right now is walking amongst us and he sees into your heart. He sees what's inside your heart. He sees your motives for everything. He sees tonight whether there's faith. He sees tonight whether there's unbelief. He does it right here. Let me ask you a question. Which does he see in you? And notice something about unbelief. Do you notice how unbelief accuses God? That's why it's so awful. Unbelief accuses God. Well, how do you get that? Well, it's in the text. Certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Here's unbelievers looking at Jesus, and their verdict of Jesus is that he's a blasphemer. Wow. Now, are you talking, are these guys atheists? No. These fellas aren't atheists. They're certain of the scribes. You always hear the scribes and the Pharisees. These are religious men. These are men who are concerned with the honor of God. But these are lost men without spiritual understanding. And they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to forgive sins. Now, they believed in God. They're theists. But listen to me. Although they believed in God, and they believed in the God of Israel, they believed in Yahweh, they didn't believe in Jesus as God. They didn't believe in Jesus as Yahweh. And they called him a blasphemer. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, why for, or wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now, in the parallel passage, in Mark 2 and verse 7, they say, it's the same passage, we get a little bit more detail there. They say, who can forgive sins but God only? Well, that's right. They've got it right. You see, the theology is sound. Who can forgive sins but God only? And so Jesus, to prove that he's God, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. Okay, that's what he says. They say, who can forgive sins but God? Logic. So Jesus, to demonstrate who he is and that the sins are forgiven, he says, take up, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? After all, anybody could say that. But here's a man who's on a bed, who's incapable of walking. Is it easier to say to him, take up your bed and walk? And so Jesus looks at him and says, take up your bed and walk. You know what Jesus is saying? Here, guys, I'm God. I'm God. Oh, these dingbats who are on public television every so often. We have Professor Smart. I don't know what his name is. And he's going to tell us about biblical history. Oh, and he gets on and he says, well, of course, you know, nobody believed that Jesus was God back then. No, 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 no. How come he's English? I don't know. Nobody believed that Jesus was God, and then Jesus never claimed to be God, and that was a later invention. Cosmob! Here he is! Right here! Is it easier to say thy sins are forgiven? Oh, only God can forgive sins. You got it? Okay, watch this. Take up your bed and walk. Yeah, and it's really important to believe this. Oh, Brother McKee, is it really important? Look, I just believe in God. I mean, isn't it okay? Just as long as you believe that in God. No, it's not. You got to believe in more than God. You got to believe that Jesus is that God.
Amen.
Who saved you? God saved you. He's the God-man, yes. But your salvation has been accomplished by God. That's pretty secure stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
I am thankful it wasn't an angel who came here to redeem me. Why is that? Because God and an angel might fall out. They might argue and fight. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses say that Jesus was an angel, a high angel, an exalted angel. I would be afraid tonight to go to sleep if I thought that was true. Why? Because I'm in Christ as a believer. So I would only tonight be in an angel. Yeah, that's as high as I could get. What if the Father and the angel fought? Well, you say, that would never happen. Oh, it wouldn't. Do you not know Bible history? Lucifer and the Father fought. What if you'd been in Lucifer? Think about it. Oh, we're in Christ. Oh, what a salvation. What a Savior. Amen. Oh, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And Jesus calls it evil to not believe who He is. Why think ye evil in your hearts? These are great. This is a great reason to be cheerful. Now, there's two types of people listening to me tonight. Those that are Irish and those that wish they were Irish. No, that's not what I was going to say. You see, it's the last night I can say these things. No. No. Now, there's only two types of people here. Those who have received forgiveness for your sins and those who haven't. Simple. Simple. Those who have received forgiveness didn't do any big work to get it. But there was a big work done to accomplish the forgiveness. But we didn't do it. Jesus did it. We received it. How? By faith. We reached out by faith and received it. And it becomes our own. And let me tell you this. If that's you, if you have received forgiveness of sins, your sins are forgiven, then you have everything to be cheerful about. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. You know something? If you got a hold of that, you could get up and do an Irish jig. You know? I mean, seriously. I sometimes feel like doing an Irish jig. Now, it's a sight I would only do in private. You know, but seriously, why would you not be thrilled that every vile, horrid, wretched thing that you've ever not just done, but you've thought of doing has been laid upon the Lamb of God, and He's been punished, and He's taken it away freely, wonderfully, freely, lovingly, and now God is your Father. You're a child of God, and the Father is thrilled with you. God loves you. His favor is set upon you. He's delighted with you. Well, see, He couldn't be delighted with me. He's delighted with you because you're in Christ. You don't know how much He's for you tonight. Oh, we're always running around, huddling around as if God's just, hey, here's God, big magnifying glass. You see, looking over the battlements of heaven. Magnifying glass in this hand and a club on the other. Just watch you. You walk straight, boy. Oh, I've been in churches that have made it sound like that. Merchants of death. The Father loves you.
Amen.
Oh, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. You're His child. You know, however, if your sins are not forgiven, you have nothing to be cheerful about. God is frowning at you tonight. His displeasure is stirred against you tonight. You have no right to call God your Father tonight. He is angry, according to the Bible, with the wicked every day. God angry? Yes. You may think all is well with you, but you have an appointment with the grave. You have an appointment with hell. Oh, thanks for telling me that, brother, but I am perfectly happy and I'm not saved. I've had people tell me that. Perfectly happy and I'm not saved. Maybe that's you tonight. Perfectly happy but not saved. All I've got to say is, my friend, what have you got to be happy about? Did you know what you are? He that believeth not is condemned already. You're already under condemnation. You don't have to wait until the death sentence is paid. You are already under the death sentence. You don't have to wait till the judgment throne. Because Jesus said, and how do I believe Jesus? Because He rose from the dead. Everything He said is true. If you believe not, if you have not trusted in Him, you're condemned already. That means you are sitting right now tonight. You are sitting not in this church. You may be in here, but you're on death row. That's where you are. You're on death row, and you're like a man sitting on death row giggling to himself and saying, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm going to have a party. Oh, joy, joy, joy. What have you got to celebrate? You're on death row, and any moment you're going to hear the marching, the footsteps of the executioner, and they're going to take and carry away to the chair or to the gallows or to wherever. That's what the unsaved man is like. He's on death row. He's condemned already. Well, brother, I don't know. I've just enjoyed life because I've been healthy all my life. So what? Good for you, but tomorrow you die. But brother, I have a good life. I'm not saved, but I'm wealthy. Well, if you're on death row, it doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank, my friend. Tomorrow you die. Why will you perish? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Would you trust in Him tonight and be saved? You know, God is the holy God and the holy God hates sin. But God is love. He's not just holy, He's love. And He came here to this earth in the person of His Son to die for us. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So receive Him. Receive what He's done. How? By faith. Be saved. And this too can be a day of good cheer for you. Oh, you know what? Forgiveness of sins is procured by the blood of Jesus. It's secured by the resurrection of Jesus. It's assured by the words of Jesus. So, be of good cheer. Amen. Now, if that was it, we could go home. I'm happy enough. Jig and all. But there's another good cheer from Jesus. Would you like to hear it? Matthew 14, verse 27. Oh, this is great. Oh, let's go back a little bit. But verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him onto the other side. And He sent the multitudes away. And when He sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them walking in the sea, on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walk into the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Wow. Now, what's the background to this? Okay, Jesus has just got through feeding 5,000 people. Actually, it was probably 15,000 people, for it says there were 5,000 men. So that's probably about 15,000 people, including the women and children. However, this is all over now, and He sends the disciples away in a boat, and He goes up in the mountain to pray. And the storm comes. And I wonder, did any of the disciples remember Psalms 46? What's it say there? It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Notice, the waters thereof roar and be troubled. They're in the midst of a storm. I wonder, Do they remember the word of the Lord? Well, I wonder, do we remember the word of the Lord when we're in the midst of the storm? Well, sometimes I encounter worried Christians. Worried Christians. Fearful Christians. Oh, brother, you see, you don't understand. What if the economy fails? Well, you know what I decided? I've got to let God worry about that one for me. My worrying won't do a thing about that. My great-grandfather, Robin Evans, never worried a day in his life. His wife, my great-grandmother, said to him, "Darling, why do you never worry about anything?" You know what he said? He said, "Ah, sure." He said, "I pay an old woman down the road and she does my worrying for me." Sweet, isn't it? And I'll tell you who does my worrying for me is Jesus. Because do you know what? You hang around worrying all day, you're going to get sick. You are. You're going to make yourself ill. You're going to come down with all kinds of diseases. Because you're not walking in faith. Jesus says, look, he says, it is I. In the midst of their terror, boy, were they worried. They were worried about that storm. They were worried about sinking. Oh, you say, but brother, I'm not worried about the economy. But, hey, I'm worried about the devil. I've had that so many times, people getting worried about the devil. I can't remember the last time I even thought about the devil. But there's some people think the devil's just sitting around every corner. I mean, seriously. There he's around every corner. I tried witnessing to an old boy one time, and he said, "Yeah, I'm going to make." He was in a truck stop, and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm going to make it through with the help of the Lord." I said, "Oh, good." I said, "What Lord is that?" And, "Oh," he said, "you can't tell me there ain't no God. You can't tell me there ain't no God." I said, "Oh, I'm not trying to tell you. Can't tell me there ain't no God." Oh, I was standing on the Mississippi River one night, and I saw seven demons. Seven spirits, they just went, boop, 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 boop. We're in the truck stop. Boop, boop. I said, "I saw them, you can't tell me there ain't no God." I said, "I walked into my apartment one night, and there was a demon behind the door, and it just jumped out of me and said, boo." I did not make that up. That's what it's great fun. Go gospeling, I tell you. Go gospeling. You will have such a great time, I tell you. I don't think about the devil. Seriously. You know, a real Christian is a puzzle to the devil. Did you know the devil can't take anything away from a real Christian? And I'll tell you why. Because a real Christian doesn't own anything. The minute you start owning things and possessing things, oh yeah, he can get you. But you don't own anything. You see? So he can't take anything away from you. It's all the Lord's. And then, the devil can't offer you anything. Do you know why? Because you've already got everything. I've got all things in Christ. So what can he offer me? What can he offer you? So you're a puzzle. But back to our passage. Christ is up there on the hillside, in the mountain, and he's praying. His disciples, they're out in the lake in a storm, and they're in trouble. Oh, what a great gospel picture this is. Christ right now is in glory. He's up in the mountain of glory, interceding for his church. And the disciples out in the lake, at that time, that's the only little church that he has. And he's praying for them. And right now, he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. And as we go through the storms of life, Jesus is interceding for us. But listen, this passage is like, not only does Jesus, can I tell you about your Savior? It's not enough for him to sit there up in the mountain praying for them. Did you notice what he did? He came to them in the midst of their storm. Precious Jesus. He'll never leave you to face it by yourself, my friend. I don't care what your hardship is. Your emotions may be tearing you up and down. Your heart may be shattered tonight. But He'll walk across water, if need be, to come right into your storm to help you. And He'll say, be of good cheer, it is I. It is I. Be of good cheer. And I want you to know something. Verse 25 says this happened in the fourth watch. That means it was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And we learn from this that Jesus still works on the night shift. Yeah. He still is there. And He works the day shift too. He's available day and night. And I don't know, when I read this passage, I'm not sure which was more scary to the disciples, the storm or Jesus walking on the water. Peter says, you know, he's freaking out about this, you see. And he says, it's a spirit. Straightway when the disciples saw Him, they said they were troubled, saying it's a spirit. And Peter says, the storm's bad enough, but now I'm seeing ghosts. He can't comprehend what's going on around him. But Jesus said, it is I. Now, that's another declaration of deity. By the way, walking in water is a big enough declaration of deity. David Copperfield, let's see you do that. Well, actually, I have walked on water. Yep, I have. Tell you no lie, but it was frozen at the time. So maybe that doesn't count. Jesus just walks on the water. That's God. And then He says, comes up to the boat and He says, it is I. Now, in the Greek language, that is literally ego eimi. Literally, I am. That's the name of God. Moses. He's there at the burning bush being sent on an errand, a mission, a task, a ministry down into Egypt. Who shall I say? He says, who shall I say will has sent me? And the Lord says, I am. I am. That's who He is. And Jesus here is saying, I am. I'm claiming to be God. I have no problem seeing you walking on water saying, you say you're God. That's enough for me. One more time. And if you read, by the way, through the Gospel of John, nearly every verse in the Gospel of John, we're not in there tonight, but it's a declaration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here He's at it again. I am. I am who you need me to be. That's who He is. I am all that I am. I am all that you need. Be of good cheer. Your Savior who has bought you, your Savior who has ransomed you, your Savior who has paid for you, is now all that you need in every situation that you need Him. I am. There's never a place where you can go where He doesn't see you, where He can't walk to you, where He can't be with you, where He can't assist you, where He can't minister to you. He's the I am. Jehovah of the Old Testament was I am, or Yahweh of the Old Testament was I am. And I am what? I am what you need. I'm what? I am everything you need. Well, you say, I'm broke. How could He help me? Well, He's Jehovah Jireh. What's that mean? The Lord, your provider? Of course, the greatest provision He ever made for us was the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross for sinners. That's the greatest provision. But I'll tell you what, in this day and age, I pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You're the provider. You say, thank God I've got a good job. Well, do you know what? Do you know who's got you that job? Jesus. Do you know who pays your wages? Jesus. And don't you ever presume upon that. Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh. Will you say, I'm sick? He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Is it wrong to pray for the sick? No, we should pray for the sick. Is it wrong to look for healing? No, it's right to look for healing. I was as sick as a dog last night. The pastor knew. I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't know how to preach last night. Sick as a dog all day yesterday. Hey, do you know something? I'm feeling pretty good tonight. Really, I'm. Because why? Not because I'm a healthy person. It's because God has been good. He can touch you. Oh, did His power run out to touch the sick when He left earth 2,000 years ago? No, He can still touch. We should look to Him. Oh, do you not agree with doctors? I thank God for doctors. But I thank God for Jehovah Rapha. And I ask him to heal me. Oh, I look to him. He said, I'm in trouble, brother. How could God help me? Well, he is the Almighty God. He's almighty, not partially mighty. He's almighty. Think of it. Oh, can you think, your daddy, and sometimes we have grown up in a hard society where daddies are vagrants, absentee, useless. And sometimes we think about God being our father and we go, oh, I don't like that. We've got to get past that, beloved. Your daddy would never abandon you. Your daddy in heaven is with you right to the end. And he is almighty. That's pretty good heritage, isn't it? You have a pretty good pedigree. Hey, you ever want to be, have been saying, why life was against me, I wasn't born into a wealthy family? You have been born again into the family of God. That's pretty good. Your father is almighty. So you got some trouble, take it to him. Amen. Be of good cheer. It is I. Who is I? It's everything we need. That's who he is. He's wonderful. You say, I'm afraid. Well, I know what that can be like, but he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is the Lord your helper. You say, but I've sinned and I failed him. Well, he is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice for sins. He is the high priest who offered up himself. He is the Lord God, your Savior. Be of good cheer. It is I. And he'll come walking on the water right into your situation. Final cheer for tonight. Good cheer number 3, John 16. What a passage. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, notice that, in me ye might have peace. In the world, notice that, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now let me give you the background. Jesus has been speaking of his imminent departure, and he tells them that, hey, there's great benefits that are going to come to you because of my departure. And one of these things, one of these great comforts, verse 7, he says, or the Comforter is going to come, and you'll be guided into all truth, in verse 13. And you'll have your prayers answered in Jesus' name, verse 23. You know what? Never you pray without the name of Jesus. Bring that name of Jesus with you to the throne of God. You know that we have the very heart and ear of God as soon as we place before him the name of his Son. Oh, he listens, for he's delighted in his Son. So bring the name of Jesus with you in prayer. And these are the great benefits he's telling them. But now he comes to verse 33, and notice the two locations where the believer is. The believer is in Christ. Did you see that? In me, you shall have peace. You have peace. In me, you might have peace. In me, that's in Christ. Where's the other place? In the world. In the world, you should have tribulation. Well, which place am I in? I'm in both. I'm in him. I'm in the world. Now, notice what he says. In Christ, you have your peace. Where is your peace? In him. In him. That means your peace is not in you. Well, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy the peace of God in you, but if you're looking at something that you're doing to try to find the peace, you have no peace. If you're looking at your performance and trying to find the peace, you have no peace. And religion teaches you that you've got to do a, you know, here's what you've got to do. I don't know how long you've been saved, but when I got saved, a bunch of guys lived in this house, and we made ourselves do all kinds of things. I get up really early in the morning and pray, and everybody had to pray in their own room, and somebody would come right and check and make sure that you were praying. And we would pray over our meals. And I wasn't this holy, but like we were all trying to be holy, but we would pray over our meals for 15, 20 minutes. You know, the grace. And I'd be lifting, opening one eye and seeing it was going colder and colder. All the big mashed potatoes, they started out and they came out on the table. There's all steam coming out, you know, just hot and they look great. And I'm looking and 15 minutes later, these things are looking cold. They would, no butter would melt on them. But we thought we were being holy, you see. And we thought if we didn't pray, we wouldn't have peace. And if we performed, and we had to get out and we witnessed, and we had to give out so many tracts, and we had to do all these things, and we performed, and we performed, and we performed, to get peace. And you can get a false peace out of that. But what happens is, if you're not performing, you lose your peace. But that's not what Jesus said. He says, in me, you have peace. In him, you have peace. If you're looking to your performance, by the way, there's nothing wrong with you getting up early to pray. There's nothing wrong with you giving out tracts. May we do more of that. But not out of a law. Out of love.
Amen.
Out of enjoying God and being thrilled with Him.
Amen.
And guess what happens if you sleep in? The Lord says, I hope you had a good sleep, son. That's what He says. It's not a matter of beating you over the head and say, how dare you? What kind of a petty God do you have? If you think He's freaked out, oh, He's fallen off His throne because I slept through my alarm. Amazing. Anyway, in Him we have peace. You're in Him. In Him we have peace. In the world, tribulation. That's a very interesting word. The Latin word for tribulation has to do with the threshing of the grain, separating the wheat from the chaff. In the Greek, the word means pressing grief and searching trial. That's what tribulation is. And Jesus said, that's what's ahead of you. So folks, you've got to understand the world won't like you. It didn't like Jesus. The world hated Jesus. It will hate us. But what does it mean, the world? Well, there's a number of meanings in Scripture. It could mean the system of rebellion, which is the world. Rebellion against God. It can mean the nations of the world. It can mean the religious systems of the world. It can mean the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Take your pick. All I'm saying is, Jesus is saying this. Not everybody's going to like you for taking a stand for Jesus. No, you know what? These people here, they were told, you know what's going to happen to you guys for following me? They're going to kick you out of the synagogue. And you know, when you were kicked out of the synagogue, that was you being ostracized from society. That meant nobody would have anything to do with you, because the synagogue is the center, was the center of the Jewish life. And that meant if you had a business, you're kicked out of the synagogue. You're not going to have a business because nobody will support you. What's the crime? Following Jesus. That's what it got these people. So don't you be surprised if somebody maybe says something to you. Did you know in Ireland, when I started a church there a few years back, and we evangelized in a certain area and managed to do some church planting. There's three churches there now in that area. But I could tell you story after story. One guard, the guard is a policeman. He became a believer. He lost all chances of promotion. He didn't lose his job, but lost chances of promotion. School teachers, the same thing would happen. Up in Dublin, this nurse became a believer. And she refused to take the rosary beads to a patient and to say the rosary with the patient. She was fired. In the world, you'll have tribulation. We've got it easy here. We really do at the moment. I don't know what's ahead. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But if I was a prophet, I would say, look at what's happening in Canada, guys. They're hauling preachers off for saying things about homosexuals. What's going to happen when they pass a law that say you have to marry a homosexual? You know what they're going to do with this guy? They're going to haul him off to jail when he refuses. You say that's too far-fetched. I don't know that it is. Maybe it is. But in the world, you'll have tribulation. That's what you have there. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm not going to focus on all that negative stuff. I'm not going to sit here and say, let's form a militia and go kill the politicians. No, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm focusing on Him. Amen. Not on all this nonsense. Amen. You know, notice what He doesn't say. He didn't say, and you can overcome the world. No, He says, I have overcome the world. You know something? I have overcome the world. That's good enough for me. He said, guys, get this straight. My victory is your victory. And your victory is my victory. That's how you get your victory, is live in the light of my victory. That's how you get it. Identification with Jesus. In me, you have the peace. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Oh, this is thrilling. This is thrilling. And so He came, He overcame the world with all its attacks. He overcame the world with all its temptations, all its allurements. At the cross, He overcame the devil and the satanic hosts. He routed them. He has overcome all things which would oppose me walking with Him. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus is the representative of man. He represented us in everything He did. Everything He did represented us. This is good news. This is gospel. Do you know what it required for me to get into heaven? And God requires for you to get into heaven. The first thing is you need to be born without sin. If that's impossible, right there, it's impossible. Right there, you cannot save yourself. I say, why would I have to be born without sin? Is God going to admit sin into His presence? He's holy. He can't stand sin. He hates it. You've got to be born sinless. I can't do that. It's too late for me. But Jesus was born sinless. And He was born as my representative and your representative. And if you're in Him, all that He has is yours. And you now have a sinless birth. You have a sinless life. You have lived in Him sinlessly because He is your representative. You know, God requires of you a perfect prayer life. I've never had a perfect prayer life. But Jesus has had one for me. When Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, He focused on the Father 100% all night. He worked. Do you know something? I've never had perfect worship. But I have, because Jesus has had perfect worship. And you know something? I haven't had perfect theology after 30-something years of studying the Bible. But Jesus is the perfect theologian. In fact, He's the only perfect theologian who's ever lived. You don't have to read Jesus. You know, if you read Luther, you got to watch Luther. I like Luther, but you got to know whether you're reading early Luther, middle Luther, or late Luther. Seriously. Because his views changed so many times. Beloved, you don't have to worry about whether is this early Jesus, or is this middle Jesus, or is this late Jesus. Jesus had perfect theology, perfect doctrine from word go.
Amen.
And so do I. Why? Because I've got His. Credit it to me. And so do you if you're a believer. You are going to heaven because of somebody else. Isn't that great? That's liberating. That liberates you not to go and sin. That liberates you to follow Him, to worship Him, to love Him, to serve Him. That's the liberty. So be of good cheer. The representative man has done it all on your behalf. Whatever He has overcome, I have overcome. Now, I'm bringing this to an end. I want you to see what kind of a master He is. Verse 32. Have I changed chapter here? No, He says, yeah. Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. He prophesies that they're going to abandon Him. That's what he says. That's prophecy right there. He says, this is what's going to happen, and it did happen. They were scattered, and they left him alone. They forsake him. What he's saying there is, for a time, the world is going to overcome you right here at the start. You just watch it. It's going to happen. Can I ask you a wee personal question? Now, we're almost finished here, and you've listened so well. Have you ever failed God? Yeah, you. Have you ever let him down? The disciples did. They abandoned him. Yeah, who does he choose to lay the foundation of his church with? The apostles and the prophets. These very same failures. Now that's grace. That's mercy. That's understanding. And he'll use you, my friend, regardless of your failure. Now here's the thing. I want you to be careful here. This doesn't give you license to go out and fail. And if you're living in deliberate, overt sin, you need to come to the cross and confess it. Ask God for repentance. A change of mind, a change of heart. Because this cannot continue. Maybe there's somebody here having little romantic affairs in chat rooms. Oh, this is common. I know a married woman. Husband thought he was happily married. She's excusing herself to go online to play Scrabble, entering into relationships with man, flirting. Is this true of you? That's going to end up in adultery, my friend. It already is adultery. It already is unfaithfulness. So the gospel doesn't give us license to fail, but it does say come back. Come back. Come back. Come back to that only Savior who loves you. He's the only one who loves you. Come back. Throw yourself in His mercy. Come back to Him. But here, listen to me. All of us are failures. Maybe going on chat rooms isn't my deal. But I have every capability of failing in every area. So I think very lowly of myself. Don't you get too built up about who you are. And oh, I'll never. I was talking to a guy the other day. Said he had never cheated his wife. I'll tell you what I say. By the grace of God, I'll never cheat on my wife. By the grace of God, if I ever tried to, God would kill me. Lord, kill me before I would do that. But I'm not trusting me here. Don't you trust yourself. In Him, you have peace. He has overcome the world. Live in Him. Live in His power. Live in His grace. Because I say we're failures doesn't mean to say that we're going to live under the dominion of sin. God forbid! Sin shall not have dominion over you. We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about the God of all grace. And He's realistic. And brother, if you've fallen tonight, if you are living a secret life, come to Calvary. Come to the cross. Come back for mercy. Come back for grace. Come back to the blood that was shed. I hope I... being clear here. Why am I on? I have got a passion to say this. This is not in my notes. Maybe I'm speaking straight to you, my friend. It's time to come away, cut out that secret life, and come to the cross. Have you failed? Well, if you've failed, you say, I did fail, but I'm not living in that failure anymore. Well, have you been back to the cross to wipe away your guilt? No. Well, why not? Well, I'm trying to show God that I'm really, really sorry. That's religion. That's self-righteousness. Come back to the cross. Come back to Him with your sin and say, this is me. Be honest with Him. Confess to your high priest who's faithful and merciful and kind and gracious and loving, and let Him embrace you and let Him flood you with His life and deliver you. Jesus has come and He's made an atonement, an atoning sacrifice, and He's poured out His blood under the judgment of God, and He's paid the penalty for our sin, and therefore heaven can bring no further charge against you. Why? Because you're in Christ. There's no charges against you. They're dropped. This is too good to be true, but it's good news. It's amazing news. Our standing tonight before God, if you're in Christ, your standing is perfect. It is complete. You are righteous. You are already set apart in Him. You are children of God. You're members of the true church. What? First Bible? No, the true church is in Him. In Him. You're a priest before God tonight. Not because you're good, but because He has overcome the world. So be of good cheer. Isn't this good news? Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Be of good cheer. It is I, the Almighty God, clothed in flesh. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Three cheers from Jesus. May the Lord bless them to our hearts. Amen.
So good. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Let it sink in for a minute or two before we go home. Will you? Just bow your heads. And a lot to absorb and a lot to take in. A lot to rejoice about tonight. So much to be happy about. So much to be happy about tonight. So much right now just to thank Jesus Christ for. If nothing else in your heart, there ought to be gratitude just welling up inside because of our Savior. There ought to be some things even right now, this minute, you could thank Him for without any hesitation. Forgiveness, His presence in the storms, victory in your life. How many of us can say tonight, you know you can, there are things in your life as a Christian, you've overcome, not because of your efforts, but you overcame them just because of Jesus Christ. The grace and the power that He gave you to get victory over things in your life that bound you maybe before you were saved, that were destroying you before you were saved, and now you're free. Whatever it might have been. Not because of 12 steps, but because of one Savior. Just one person did that. So much to be thankful for tonight. So much to praise Him for tonight. But maybe you're a child of God and you're still struggling about something this evening. Maybe there's something you're burdened about. Maybe you don't have that cheer. Maybe tonight there is no happiness in your life. Even though you know you're saved. What is it that has you burdened? Some sin you think you can't be forgiven for? Some storm you think you're never going to get out of? Some habit you think you'll never overcome? What is it tonight that has you burdened? You know that Jesus Christ can free you of all of that. He can deliver you tonight. And we're not going to look around. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come forward. But tonight, just between you and the Lord, do you know of something like that in your life tonight? Some sin that has its grip on you? Something that you cannot get free of, or you thought you couldn't get free of? Something that you wish you could just be delivered from? Something that you know you need to have changed in your life by the power of God? Is there something like that for you tonight? Just between you and the Lord tonight? No, not looking at your neighbor or anything like that, but is that your situation this evening? And the reason that you are not of good cheer, Are you burdened about something that Jesus can deliver you from, Jesus can help you from tonight? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And is that you this evening? Would you say, yes, there's something like that in my life. And I need the Lord tonight. I need forgiveness. I need victory. I need His comfort in some storm that I'm going through. I need the Lord to help me with something tonight. Is that you tonight? Would you just lift your hand? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Okay. Amen. Amen. Number of hands. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there is one all-sufficient Savior, one Almighty God who can do all of that. Forgive and comfort and give you victory in Him. If you'll just bring it to Him tonight. Give it to Him tonight. There's no striving here. There's no sweating it here with you. The victory is in Him. Would you just give it to Him this evening? Would you talk to Him even right now where you are in your seat? Would you just speak to Him about that need? There isn't anything tonight that He won't forgive. Be honest with Him. Lay it before Him. There isn't anything this evening that you can't be delivered from if you'll just trust Him completely. Will you let Him have that thing tonight? Will you just speak to Him tonight? And while some of the Christians here in this room do that even now, I hope, maybe you're here this evening and you're not sure that you're saved. As the preacher said so clearly tonight, if you are not truly a believer in Jesus Christ, as the songs we sang tonight, we can say assuredly, I am His and He is mine. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's no hesitancy to say that. You know that you belong to Him. If He has saved you, you know that He is yours. Can you say that tonight confidently? I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Him. I know He has saved me. If you're not able to say that tonight with assurance, then you need the Lord this evening. Then you need the Lord to save you. Is there someone like that here tonight? You say, I know I need Jesus Christ. I'd like to trust Him. I want to trust Him. I'm willing to trust Him. I'm willing to put all of my faith in Him as my Savior. I'm willing to do that tonight. Is there anyone like that this evening? Maybe you've realized your need of Jesus Christ tonight. We're not offering you religion, not church membership, no work of righteousness here that you can do. None of that would be of any value tonight. As the preacher said so clearly, we just offer you the salvation that there is in Jesus Christ, the free gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you need that tonight? Is that you this evening? Maybe there's someone here this evening who is not sure you're saved. Would you slip your hand up and then just put it right back down and let us pray for you this evening? Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Is there someone else tonight? Can we pray for you this evening? Is there someone else tonight? You know, you need the Lord to save you. You need Him tonight. You have to come to the end of yourself. You have to come to the end of trusting you and trust Him. You have to come to the end of trusting a religion and trusting Jesus Christ. You can't do both at the same time. You have to be willing to let that go and lay hold of Christ. Is there someone like that tonight? Someone else tonight? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Let us pray for you this evening. We'll pray for you. Just the fact that someone raised their hand, I assure you there are people in this room praying for that person, although they may not have known who it was that raised their hand. People all over this room are already praying for that one that's raised his hand already. Is there someone else? Anyone else? Just slip it up and put it right back down. All right. We're going to pray, and then after we pray, we'll sing a hymn of dismissal. And when we're finished with the service, if you lifted your hand and you know you need to be saved, we're here for you to help you. We'll open a Bible and show you how you can settle it tonight with Jesus Christ. We just ask you for that opportunity, that we could take the Scriptures and show you how you can know for sure. It's that simple. There's nothing for you to sign. There's nothing for you to join. There's nothing for you to promise. We'll just show you from the Bible how you can settle it tonight, how you can know your sins are forgiven, how you can know you have eternal life. And we'll pray for you, then we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll ask you, When the service is dismissed, stay and speak to us for a moment, and let us help you with that, all right? Our Father, we thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you so much for the message tonight. What a blessing it's been to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Just the joy that there is being a believer and just thinking again and looking again upon our Savior. Thank you for all that we have in Him. Thank you for the cheer and the joy that we have in Christ, the forgiveness, the promise of your presence in every storm, the assurance and the promise of victory because you've overcome the world. Lord, how blessed we are tonight. What a blessed people we are. And Lord, we just give you the honor tonight. We want to say, Lord, we love you tonight. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the grace you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you for accepting us as your children, not because of who we are, but because of Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Lord. And we pray now for this young man that's lifted his hand. Father, you know his need. You know what questions need to be settled in his mind and in his heart for him to fully rest in thee, Lord, and trust you. Help him with that. Lord, help him. May tonight be the night of his salvation. May tonight be the night, Lord, you give him your precious gift of eternal life. Help him not to leave, Lord, until it's settled in his heart. There may be others, Lord, tonight. And for some reason, Lord, they may know they need to be saved, but they were hesitant tonight to say so. Help them, Lord. Let them see their need. Show them their need. Show them their condition. Show them, Lord, the danger that they're in. Show them the wrath of God and the condemnation that hangs over their head even now. And Lord, just help them that they would take that step of faith. Trust you with all their heart, Lord, we pray. We thank you so much, Lord, for the meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll do a work in each of our hearts. I pray for those of our church family that lifted their hands tonight, Lord. You know the needs. Whatever it is, Lord, please give the grace, the forgiveness, the comfort, the strength, the victory, Lord, that's needed tonight. And may you receive the glory and all the honor, Lord, from all the good that's done. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn and be dismissed. And if you have a need tonight, you need to talk to me about anything or pray with someone, you can do that before we go home. What page, brother?
125.
125. Number 125. Let's stand together. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. White as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat,
amen.
Amen.
Jesus made it all.
A little bit sweeter to you as a result of these meetings?
Yes, sir.
Does he mean a little bit more to you now?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we've been made to think on some things. It's been good, right? It's been good as a church that the Spirit of God would draw our attention to things about our Savior and to Him Himself. And it's sweet. It's sweet. Our meditation of Him is sweet. When we think on Him, it's sweet. It's a blessing. And I hope you've been refreshed by these meetings and challenged and gotten some things maybe straightened out in your life, gotten some things right with God, and we thank the Lord for all the good that was done as a result of this. All right, Brother Kevin, I'm going to ask you if you'll just dismiss the service tonight. And again, if you have some need, if you need to get those questions answered, we'll stick around and talk to you. If you need us to do that, we'd be happy to. Don't go home until you're satisfied tonight. All right, don't go home until you're satisfied. There's still something not settled in your heart. You're a child of God. Settle it tonight before you leave that room. Find a corner here somewhere. Pray about it. Get it right. Maybe there's somebody in here you got an issue with. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could settle it tonight before you go through those doors? Just make it right. Make it right. What a blessing that would be, just to have that business settled here this evening. Amen? All right, Brother Kevin, pray and dismiss the meeting.
Father, have a more truly a few honest tonight. There's really nothing that by wonderful, marvelous benefits towards us, Lord.
Amen.
I thank you for every good and perfect gift, Lord, Father. Thank you most of all, my Lord and Savior, Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Thank you, Father, that my Savior bore it all willingly, Father. No one had to talk him into that sacrifice. He was the last link before the foundation of the world, Lord.
Amen.
And truly, tonight, Lord, we are rich and blessed to get, Lord.
Amen.
And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that when we go home, Father, and we live throughout the week, Father, when we're not with our brethren, when we're from this building, Lord, help us, Father, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Help us to take up our cross daily, Father. I'm grateful, Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ does not ask of us what He was not willing to do Himself, Father.
Amen.
Lord, He asks us to lay our life down because He laid His life down, Father. He asks us to take up our cross, Father, because He bore His cross, Lord. And so, Father, help us to put into practice, Lord. Help us to put some feet, Lord, Father. Lord, I believe tonight, Lord, help my own belief, Lord, help my brothers and sisters as we go forth from this place. So, Lord, let others see the life, Father, the life of Jesus Christ in us, Father, that all men and women will be drawn unto Him, Father. Thank you for my brother, Lord, tonight, Father. Thank you for these nights, Father, thy word, Father. Lord, thank you that your word never gets old, Lord.
Amen.
Father. It's so good, Father. Remind us, Father, Lord, just where can we go, Father? Thou hast the word of eternal life.
Amen.
And Lord, just dismiss us with your love and your care, Father. And I pray for this one that raised his hand tonight, Lord, that today he would settle that question, Father, of his eternity, Lord. And that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might give him spiritual eyesight tonight, that he would be saved this day, Lord. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.